And at least for today, the political scene in the U.S. is dominating the debate in the British Parliament in Westminster Hall. British lawmakers are taking up a petition to ban Donald Trump from their country because of what signers call his hate speech against Muslims, that call for a ban on all Muslims entering the U.S. Here's Paul Flynn of the Labour Party starting things off today.
I think our best plan is not to give him that accolade of martyrdom in that way. I think we may already be in error by giving him far too much attention.
But Parliament is obligated to debate the idea. The petition calling for it attracted more than 574,000 signatures. And under British law, any petition that receives 100,000 signatures must be considered. And the British are seeing the same images we're seeing here in the U.S. after Trump called for the ban. Protesters have been forcibly removed from some of his rallies, including a woman just standing silently in a headscarf at a rally in South Carolina. That made news because the crowd around Rose Hamid jeered and gestured when she was escorted out of the venue. Here she is talking about what happened with CNN's Don Lemon.
Yeah, the one guy was saying, "Get out, do you have a bomb? Do you have a bomb?" And I said, "No, do you have a bomb?" So no, they were saying ugly things. One guy was saying, "God is great." And I'm like, "Yeah, God is great." And one guy said, "Isa loves you," which is the Arabic word for Jesus. And I said, "Yeah, I know, and Jesus loves you too." So it's the thing is that people don't even know what they're saying. They don't even they just get riled up in the hate mongering, and they don't even know what they're saying. So I basically feel sorry for them.
Well, Kadi Abdul is an IT consultant from Cincinnati who happened to be working in Silicon Valley when she saw that on TV. She wrote about what happened next in The Guardian and joins us now from WGUC in Cincinnati to tell her story. Kadi, start at the beginning.
Well, I woke up on Saturday morning and read the story about Rose, and I could not believe it. This, to me, wasn't just a story about Rose. It was a pattern of behavior that we've seen over the last couple of weeks at the Trump rallies. But with Rose, she made a point of stating that the reason why she went there was to give people who don't normally have an opportunity to meet Muslims an opportunity to meet a Muslim and to ask them questions face-to-face. And I thought that that was an incredibly laudable goal. And I decided that I would go online, look up Trump's speaking schedule, and I found out that he was in Reno, Nevada, which wasn't that far of a drive from San Francisco. And like an impetuous idiot, I jumped in the car and drove up there.
Well, and to underscore why you thought this was such a crazy thing to do, Rose's story could be your story. You are also Muslim.
I am. I'm Muslim. I am what we call a hijabi, which means that I always wear a headscarf in public. But beyond that, I'm somebody who believes in the political process and that people have a duty to behave civilly to each other. And I don't feel like that's happening always at his rallies.
What was your thought going? What were you going to try to do?
Just go and continue her mission, which was be there as a Muslim and answer questions if people had any. Mm. And that was as far as I had thought it out.
So you pull up to Reno, Nevada, and a Donald Trump rally wearing a bright orange full headscarf and carrying a very large Quran, the largest I've ever seen. And what happens?
Well, so I wanted to try to get there as close to when the doors opened as possible because I didn't know if I was going to be denied entry. And the doors were supposed to open at 11 o'clock. I get there about 5 after 11, and the line is already snaking around the building. And I can only think to myself, oh, my goodness, what an idiot. I should have gotten up earlier. This is going to be interesting. And I simply took a deep breath and got into line, and I had my Quran out, and I didn't want to make anybody nervous or feel like they were obligated to say something, so I started reading.
And you can feel, what you say, head snapped almost off.
I am a reasonably tall woman, and definitely not the average Trump supporter. So I think that they knew I wasn't one of them.
Well, we should say you're also African-American.
And I'm also African-American. Yeah. And nobody said anything directly to me, which I thought was very interesting. I had anticipated that some people might say, you know, you need to get out of here, anything. But people if those were thoughts, and apparently there were some of those discussions at the top of the line, they were not things that were said directly to me. I think Trump rallies have their share of mischief makers, just like Islam has its share of mischief makers, and that the bullies and the thugs that have been so visible and present at some of his rallies were either absent that day or they didn't have the courage to come up to me face to face. And I think that that's something that people need to remember about bullies. They're not courageous people. They're cowards.
Well, and you're talking about some of the people who have attacked people who've been removed from Trump rallies, whether it's somebody in the Black Lives Matter movement, hecklers. Yeah. Some of them have been bullied. But you did have one guy who tried to provoke you. He was selling T-shirts?
Oh, yeah. This is Trump who says, "Make America Great Again," and almost all of his merchandise is manufactured in China. But one of the vendors came down from where he was at the top of the line to stand directly in front of me and yelled very loudly, "Get your bomb the hell out of ISIS T-shirts here! Bomb the hell out of ISIS T-shirts!" And he was looking directly at me as if I were going to say something. And I simply smiled, shook my head, and resumed reading. And he went away no less than 5 minutes later.
As the afternoon went on, did you talk to people? What happened?
I did. So, I'm reading my Quran, and people said, "Hey, what are you reading?" And I said, "Well, this is the Quran." And I said, "Well, what's in it?" And I said, "Well, it teaches us to, this particular surah that I'm reading talks about Jesus and the Last Supper, which we call Al-Ma'ida, the table spread." And they were like, "Wow, that's interesting. I didn't know that."
That Jesus is in the Quran.
That Jesus is in the Quran, that we even describe the Last Supper. Some people talked to me about Obamacare and healthcare and their perceptions of it. And it was an interesting opportunity for me, especially as somebody who is an IT consultant, who's also been an IT contractor, to say what my experiences were with healthcare before we had the healthcare exchange. And a lot of them started nodding their heads. Yeah, it was expensive. Yeah, I guess we did pay for people who were getting emergency medical care only in the ER, where it's triply as expensive as it is to do preventive care. Whether I change any minds, I don't know. But it was an opportunity for us to share ideas. And that, to me, is the point of the political process.
But did you think you changed any minds about who Muslims are?
I think that for every person that I talked to, what I noticed is that there were five who leaned closer to hear what I was saying. So in one of the pictures in The Guardian, I'm standing next to a gentleman who's wearing a T-shirt of Abraham Lincoln carrying an AK-47 riding a bear. And he is also an amateur historian. And as we were engaging in discussions, I think it surprised him to find out that somebody who's not a Trump supporter can be knowledgeable about American history. By the end of it, he and I were hugging. His sister was standing beside him. She and I hugged.
The goal to get through all of this is to stop seeing fellow Americans as others. And it sounds as if in that moment, they realized you were not an other.
That's right. And I don't think that I'm special. I am just a normal person. What I find most amazing is that within the last 72 hours, we've had 40,000 shares. People as individuals are reacting to this and seeing that they have the ability to stand up and make a change.
Well, at least a couple of people saw you as not the other. Did you see them as not the other that maybe you had thought of them before?
I did. It was nice to be among that group and to hear their stories, their personal convictions about why they were at that rally, their economic hardships, their belief that, society is going the wrong direction. I think for me, it's important for them to have understood that, I'm pretty much thinking the same thing. I just don't blame everybody else for that problem. I think it's something that we can look inside ourselves, resolve then as a group. I don't think you need to blame Mexicans. I don't think you need to blame Muslims. I don't think you need to blame Asians. A lot of this has to do with reforming ourselves. But we share some of the same concerns.
As you say, we need to see them and listen to them as well. Just let me ask, were you afraid? Were you ever afraid?
You know, my husband was probably more afraid. He was here in Cincinnati. And he was like, what? What the heck are you doing? And I think my family probably is more afraid. I still have brothers and sisters that are dazed. But I was convinced that that was the right thing to do.
That's Kadi Abdul, an IT professional and Muslim American who attended a Donald Trump rally in a bright orange headscarf. Kadi, thank you.
You're welcome, Robin.